The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
It is Monday. We're back with another episode of Fantasy Football Today. The NFL annual meetings can be very helpful for fantasy managers, not because of what the owners are saying or anything like that, but the coaches are there and they're talking to the media, including our ace correspondent, Jamie Eisenberg. He has been on the scene with the latest. Should we start taking Gus Edwards a little bit more seriously? Will Nick Chubb be ready for week one? Did Heath have fun on his vacation? Does Dave Richard have the worst bracket in March Madness history? It is so bad. He is in second to last place at his maximum score. His maximum score is 46 points.
Oh, no. I thought Lucas had the worst bracket ever, and he had a maximum score of 94. He's already lost like three of his final four teams. Dave, how did that happen?
I think my favorite quote maybe ever from Dave was, I've watched a lot of college basketball.
Yeah, not enough.
By UCLA, 60.
All right, he has BYU losing to Kentucky in the championship game.
I told you before I say anything, I'm a football guy.
Well, it's just great.
The best was I watched a lot of college basketball.
I watched a lot of basketball. I did. Just goes to show you. Well, what I didn't do was pick good teams because I tried to be different. And right. Listen, I've got other brackets that are doing much better than the one in the bracket pool where I don't win even if I win.
That's true.
I kind of half-assed that one. But it's still very funny that it's so bad.
It is so bad. Okay, anyway. Yeah, we do have a lot to talk about here. Let's go through some news and notes real quick, and then we'll get to what Jamie has gotten from his interviews. So, Legarius Sneed is on the Titans right now, and they gave
Not officially, according to Brian Callahan. He kept saying, I can't talk about that yet. I can't talk about that yet. So it's obviously happening, but he's like, has to be the play the company line.
Okay. One of those agreed to terms, but hasn't signed actually.
The trade hasn't become official yet.
Okay. Yes. Well, they did have contract details, 4 years, $76 million, $55 million guaranteed. So that's Legarius Sneed going to the Titans and not shadowing as many AFC West receivers, now going to a different division. Big offseason for the Titans. They've obviously upgraded, and we'll hear about them a little bit. Mike Tomlin, how about some quarterback news? You guys can tell me what you're buying here. Mike Tomlin says that Russell Wilson is the leader. He's in pole position to be the starting quarterback for the Steelers. Antonio Pierce, the Raiders head coach, he said that Aiden O'Connell will compete for the starting job. They brought in Gardner Minshew. Jerod Mayo, the Patriots head coach, said that Jacoby Brissett could be the starting quarterback in 2024. Brian Daboll says that Daniel Jones is the starting quarterback for the Giants, but we don't know when he's back. We don't know when he's going to be back necessarily. The reports have been encouraging, I guess, in terms of his progress from the ACL injury. Mike McDonald, the head coach for the Seahawks. How about all these new coaches with these quarterback situations here? Pierce and Mayo and McDonald. He says he's very confident in Geno Smith, and right now the Seahawks are talking like Geno Smith is their starter. Heath, when you look at the Steelers, the Raiders, the Patriots, the Giants, the Seahawks and those five quarterback situations, how many of them do you feel are settled?
Settled for week one or for the entire season?
For week one.
Okay, so I think that Russell Wilson's going to start week one for the Steelers. I feel pretty confident. I think Geno is going to start week one for Seattle. I think the Giants is unsettled because of injury, but not because of competition. Who are the other ones?
Patriots and Raiders.
Patriots, I think, is going to be a rookie, but not settled. And yes, they'll have a competition, but Gardner Minshew's going to win it.
All right. The Patriots, the Commanders, Patriots, and Cardinals have all been saying that they're kind of open for business, listening to trade offers at the 2, 3, and 4 spots. Of course, we know not everything should be believed here. Dave, the tush push will not be banned. Is that a huge deal? I mean, we were kind of expecting that to be the case, right?
Sure. And so we need to know if Philadelphia is going to stick with it. I don't know if that's the play that pushed Jason Kelce into retirement or if it was just Kelce being old. If you listen to his press conference, he had some very choice words for how he described what he said before each tush push that he participated in. And if the Eagles keep the tush push, is it going to be as effective without Kelce? You're also going to have a full offseason where everybody's going to figure out how to defend the tush push, and other teams are going to see if they can do the tush push as well, if not better than Philadelphia. So we'll see. Ultimately, it could mean more quarterback touchdowns if teams figure out that they're good at it.
Just a terrible rule.
What is a terrible rule?
That you
keeping it or eliminating it.
Push someone forward, but you cannot push someone backwards. If forward progress exists as a rule and you're not allowed to push someone backwards, then you should not be allowed to push someone forwards.
Oh, I'm just going to let the chat. I'm just going to let the chat criticize Heath for that one.
Okay, that's fine.
The Dolphins could sign Odell Beckham. They've made him an offer. And Jamie, how about the Chargers here with their GM Joe Ortiz saying that Gus Edwards will be the bell cow? And I must admit and apologize for not even taking him seriously as a free agent, really. I feel like when I talk about the free agent running backs, I don't even talk about Gus Edwards. It's crazy. Heath took him with the second to last pick of round 9. That's 107th overall.
In our last draft?
In our last draft, in full PPR.
I thought that was my best draft of the offseason.
Oh, that's right. Jamie did it. but yeah.
Followed your rankings to a T.
Should we be taking Gus Edwards more seriously, Jamie Eisenberg?
Yes. I think he's a very good running back if you go hero or zero RB to plan to start the season with. It's a prime destination for a rookie running back, and that's most likely going to be, I think, what the Chargers do on day 2 or day 3 or maybe both. They're going to add, you know, players there. But what is their GM going to say right now? He's their best running back on the roster. So until somebody else of any significance is added, you have to take Gus Edwards seriously. But will he be the guy that we're talking about the majority of the season? Probably not. And to be honest, hopefully not, just because I'd like to see somebody a little bit younger and maybe a little bit more explosive in the passing game there. But look, he scored 13 touchdowns last year. They're going to be a much more physical, run the ball type of team. Jim Harbaugh spent a lot of time talking about that today. And I think that's something that you can expect, is that Gus Edwards, as long as he's healthy, will have an opportunity to potentially lead them in carries and potentially lead them in touchdowns.
Yeah, if you're listening right now, you might be hearing Jamie just skip out a couple of times there, just so you
know. I'm sorry, I'll hold the microphone a little closer.
No, I don't know if it's that, but he's at a hotel room right now in Orlando covering this event. So I thought it'd be great to have the most immediate reaction that we could to all these, you know, interesting comments that we're hearing from the coaches. So you sound good. Don't worry about it. Just occasional hiccup, I guess, there. Just letting you know what our situation is. I was just thinking about this, though. If the Chargers do draft a running back, Gus Edwards, he is good in short yardage, you know, and he's good near the goal line. And I looked at him throughout his career. He has a slightly higher conversion rate of scoring touchdowns, Gus Edwards, from the 3-yard line or closer than Ezekiel Elliott does in that span. And we all consider Zeke really good there. So, you know, Dave, how much do you think if they bring in a running back? They draft on the second day. The Chargers draft a running back. We'd love that, right? Awesome. Blake Corum. Woohoo! Does Gus Edwards, is he the goal line back? How much does he hurt the ceiling of a rookie running back?
I would expect Gus Edwards to be, at worst, a 1B running back for the Chargers. You know, Michigan used 2 running backs last year, it wasn't just Blake Corum that carried the mail for them. They had another guy, Edwards, I believe is his last name, and he had some great plays. You're going to see two running backs in LA. Gus will be one of them. I'd be surprised if he were the 1A, but he could swipe some touchdowns. He could swipe 12 carries a game. He's going to be exactly what Jamie said. He's perfect for that hero or zero RB build. You're going to get to round 8. He'll be there. You'll take him.
I think a good comp could be not to the same level of production, but Raheem Mostert. You know, older running back that's going to have a younger guy in the same room. Who knows what that other running back will be? Last year, Devon Achane, obviously. But Mostert was in the latter stages of his career, clearly 31. Gus Edwards, 29. You know, can still be very productive in this system.
Okay, last Gus Edwards question. Heath, in this draft that you did last week,
great.
When you were on vacation.
I can't believe I stole him in round 9, but go ahead.
You drafted Gus Edwards, or JB did for you, ahead of Jerome Ford. Who would you rather have, Gus Edwards or Jerome Ford?
Gus Edwards.
Okay. Two other things real quick here. Number one, Matt Weber is one of our most dedicated audience members. He's on just about every live stream watching, often from work. Happy birthday, Matt. It is his birthday. Thank you for being a big part of the FFT family. We appreciate you and have an awesome birthday. And
happy birthday.
CBS Sports HQ is absolutely crushing it right now. March Madness is CBS Sports HQ is great every day, but March Madness is when HQ, I think, is at its absolute best. First of all, this time of year is not just March Madness. We have so much intense sporting events going on right now. We've got hockey and NBA playoffs, for example, heating up. USA Soccer, yeah. And, of course, March Madness for three of the four people on here. We're still watching March Madness, but CBS Sports HQ is crushing it. So please check out HQ. You can watch it on the CBS Sports app. It's free and it's 24/7 and it's the best streaming sports coverage that you're going to find. We're going to take a break on fantasy football today and come back and talk about the Titans backfield, how Nick Chubb is doing, what Zach Taylor, the Bengals head coach, said about Zach Moss and more. We'll be right back. On FFT.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. All right, Jamie, what did you find out about the New York Jets?
Quite a bit, obviously, you know, with a lot of stuff going on there. In terms of Aaron Rodgers, Robert Saleh said, this is a quote, "I know he's on a mission. He's working his tail off out in California. Knowing Aaron, he's on a mission to do a lot of things that he wanted to do last year, and he's not going to stop until he gets it done." He does anticipate Rodgers being ready to go. I think his quote was fully anticipating him to be available for the spring. So, and he said 7-on-7. he should be able to do all that. So that sounds like he's making, you know, progress. As we know, he was pushing to potentially return last year. So I think it would be a surprise if he's not ready to go by at least the start of training camp, you know, fully healthy from the Achilles injury. And so hopefully that's the case. In terms of Mike Williams, who's coming back from last year's ACL tear, Salah said he's got a long way to go. This is a quote, long way to go. And said he's on a similar time frame to Breesall, but they are very excited about Mike Williams, called him a dynamic receiver, a dynamic athlete. And he said most 50-50 balls to other receivers are 70-30 balls to him, that they expect him to win most of those. So called him a great compliment to Garrett Wilson. So you got to be a little bit cautious, though, with Mike Williams coming back from his injuries. Okay. Don't get overexcited about him based on the fact that he's got that recovery.
I wonder where the Jets' Super Bowl odds were last year before they, like when they got Rodgers, compared to now, because they're middle of the pack. They're in between the Dolphins and the Falcons. They still should have a great defense. I mean, all the reasons why people were excited about them last year still exist. Interesting.
Except Rodgers is older, coming off a major injury. But the offensive line definitely got better. I mean, that was something Salah was clearly raving about. And you got a healthy Breece Hall. You know, he said he's hasn't scratched the surface yet with the way that he played last year. What he's capable of doing this year. You know, so very excited about Breece Hall. He also talked about Israel Abanikanda. He seemed to indicate that they're not done adding another running back. So we'll see if they bring in somebody else. We know last year that they had Dalvin Cook on the roster too. So we'll see what happens there in terms of backfield depth for the Jets.
All right, let's go to the Titans backfield. So what do we got there?
So Brian Callahan said he doesn't really have it figured out yet what the roles are going to be for both those guys in terms of Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears. He said, until I get my hands on them, I'm not really sure. But I asked him, you know, just what he thought about Pollard and how he performed based on what Pollard said, you know, coming off the injury. And, you know, he said himself with the Cowboys that he didn't feel like he was back to, you know, his normal self, as we've talked about quite a bit since until that week 11 game against Carolina. And so he said, you know, a lot of times, this is Callahan, a lot of times when, you know, players are coming back from injury, you know, it's that second year. And typically you see those type of things from the player that you're looking for. And that's the type of player he said he hopes they're getting. But he did say both guys can work in the passing game. He's excited about that. He expects to mix and match both of them. I would anticipate probably Pollard still being the lead guy and Spears in a secondary role. But to what extent, you know, Pollard comes off the field and Spears plays, Callahan wasn't saying. And it sounds like he doesn't really know yet. But very excited. He sounded very excited about both those guys.
Heath, another great home run pick for you. Tony Pollard in the second pick of round six. So, yeah, Heath, let's take a look at where these guys went last week. Pollard, round six, second pick, and Spears, round seven, right in the middle, about, let's say, 15 picks later. Which one's better value?
That seems too close to me. So I would lean Pollard there. 5-6 range sounds about right for him. I would think maybe just a little bit later for Spears. What we don't know is what the total number of running back opportunities is going to be in this offense. I'm not expecting a huge number of running back targets. And without that, I don't think there's enough work for both these guys to justify being drafted in the first seven rounds of drafts. But it is one of those situations. And I had Gretsch on FFT Dynasty the week before I went on vacation, and he was talking about how he loves to target ambiguous running back rooms. And it is one of those, because if Tony Pollard ends up with a 65% share or Spears somehow ends up with a 50% share, and those guys are great values in round six or round seven. And if one of them gets hurt, then the other one probably smashes.
Anything to add, Dave Richard?
No, the only other quote that I heard from Callahan was that they were interchangeable as of now. And he did use the term as of now. So camp's going to come and they're going to see what Pollard can do. And I think at worst, Tajay Spears just keeps his role on third downs and Pollard handles first and second. But they could end up switching where series, Tajay gets a series, and that's how they rotate. And that'll make it stink for fantasy managers, because you're not going to know exactly who will do what from game to game.
Okay. Give me an update on the new Bengals running back, Jamie Eisenberg, Zach Moss.
Oh my gosh, Zach Taylor was just raving about him. And the one thing that he said, which is something that we've talked about a little bit, is the fact that he's worked so well out of the shotgun. And he talked about how he did that well in Buffalo. He talked about how he did that well in Indianapolis. And you see this all the time. I got to go back and look, if one of you guys want to check. you always get these players that change teams and the teams that sign them because there was a good game from that player against the team.
Oh, that happens all the time.
Right. And so he brought up the game that he had. I don't remember exactly the numbers that he had, that Moss had against the Bengals. And so he said, you know, we saw it firsthand and what he was able to accomplish. But he was just raving about it. Now, he did say in relation to Chase Brown and Travion Williams, he said, you know, we're going to use multiple guys. So take that into account. Now, I didn't like the fact that he said both guys' names as opposed to just saying Chase Brown's name. But it sounds like they have a plan to use multiple running backs. But he was very excited about Zach Moss, about how he's a good pass protector. And he did say good pass catcher out of the backfield. He said he's a little bit different than what they had in Joe Mixon. So we'll see how that sort of plays itself out from a touch standpoint and obviously some of the different things that they do with him. But in any event, he was you know, the reporter who asked him about Zach Moss, just huge smile on his face, and you know, was very excited to talk about what his chances are for this year.
So week 14 last year, Zach Moss played at Cincinnati. He had 13 carries for 28 yards and no touchdowns. Caught half of his 8 targets for 28 yards and no touchdowns.
Was it maybe a Buffalo game? I don't know.
I looked. I don't see him against Cincinnati unless we ever go. I don't know if he's ever played against Cincinnati except for that game.
Playoff game?
Checking. No, that's it. Last year, a dope 2.2 yards per carry average.
So take what I said and flip it around. Whenever a player does not do well against
Yeah, he had four catches.
They get excited about it. But he brought up the game. I mean, I was listening to him. I was.
yeah. Well, you know, I think he made a great block on a play. It was leveled sub one.
It is possible that Moss had great games against other AFC North teams, and the coaches saw that in their preparation for Indianapolis.
Very true.
And then they shut down Moss in that game.
30 carries, 122 yards, 2 catches, 23 yards, and a touchdown at the Baltimore Ravens in week 3. Mystery solved. By the way, forgot to play a clip. Let's go. Let's rewind. Schaefer, let's rewind back to our Titans talk here and Callahan talking about Pollard and Spears. Look at this young reporter with the intensity. There he is. Jamie.
Wrong question.
Hanging on to every word. Oh, he's, yeah, what else? What, either way, he's talking about Will Levis here. But
what did he say about Will Levis?
So the question was about the weapons that they added. And he was actually, I think, in this answer talking about not just the receivers, but also Cushenberry and the offensive line is giving him better protection up front. But I always seem to find myself in these photos. Last year it was Doug Peterson, I believe, or 2 years ago. Where something always happens and somebody posts something, I'm sitting right there. But yeah, he was saying that, you know, this is what he said. He talks to Will Levis all the time, and this is the type of thing that you want to give, you know, young quarterbacks is a lot of options. And he talked about, in terms of Calvin Ridley, the ability to move around. He's excited to get now Hopkins in some situations where he can, you know, take advantage of some mismatches. And he even brought up Traylon Burks, for what it's worth, you know, just in terms of his opportunity. So it should be fun to see this Titans offense unfold. You know, he's very excited about all the offseason additions.
I'm just excited that it's going to be like an offense that moves into the 21st century for Tennessee.
You know what? Let's take a little detour here, because Heath, you haven't really, I don't think we've gotten your thoughts on Calvin Ridley. And you are very high on him compared to Dave and Jamie, or at least you were initially. Is that sticking with that?
I do think I definitely came out high on him. I thought it was weird that because I was kind of the doubter last year, but some of those struggles early in the year, I just wouldn't be surprised if that was rust from not playing for a year and a half. And he was pretty good late in the season. They gave him a bunch of money. DeAndre Hopkins is old. I just kind of expect for Ridley to be the one and Hopkins to be the two.
Okay. Yeah, well, once again, you took him in the draft last week.
Yeah, of course I did. Round four?
Round four, yeah.
Yeah, great pick. Man, that's can we play this one out?
Jamie, you got updates on Nick Chubb, Joe Burrow, Tank Dell. What's the most interesting thing that you heard about injured players? You also talked to us about Mike Williams, which I thought was pretty interesting, and being cautious with him. But in terms of injured players, what's the most interesting stuff you came away with from there?
So Kevin Stefanski was asked about Nick Chubb's health, and the question was kind of phrased as And if you, you know, follow Nick Chubb and how he works out in the offseason, is he pushing himself too much to get back early? And Stefanski said that Chubb and the medical team are working together. They're not going to rush him back. And I thought it was interesting when you asked Heath the question about Gus Edwards versus Jerome Ford. I agree also. I would take Edwards over Ford too. But if we find out come training camp that Nick Chubb's going to go on the PUP list, and we know that they added Deontay Foreman, I know we spoke about that a little bit last week, but if Chubb is not ready to go because he is coming back from significant injury, and as Dave brought up on our last episode, that the ACL tear had to be repaired a little bit later because I think of the swelling and the MCL tear as well, that there's a very realistic chance that he's not ready to go to start the season. And so Stefanski wasn't exactly like he's going to be ready. You know, I think he was kind of just trying to put some caution to it. And so Jerome Ford's very interesting, just in terms of starting the season, you know, potentially similar to like a Gus Edwards, you know, depending on what the rookie running back there is for the Chargers.
Did anybody ask about Nick Chubb's contract?
No.
Because I'm shocked that is still on the books as it is. He's got a $15 million cap hit this year with $4 million in dead cap.
I don't want to say nobody asked. Nobody asked when I was sitting there. You know, so just to kind of give, right. Dave knows this because he's been to these before. I jump around from table to table. I don't sit there for the whole time, you know, listen to the same coach. There's just not enough time. We get like 40 minutes with all, today's just the AFC coaches. Tomorrow's the NFC coaches. So there may have been somebody that asked the question about Nick Chubb's contract. So I don't want to say nobody asked, but nobody when I was there.
No, well, I mean, Jamie's just constantly looking, which coach can I get closest to so I can be on Twitter? It's basically.
So Callahan, I sat next to. Who else? I sat next to one other person. Which coach did I sit next to?
Oh, you can't remember. There's so many.
No, but I sat down. There was like a chair open. I sat down next to him for a minute. Maybe it was Stefanski. And then I was like two chairs away from Zach Taylor. I was standing behind D'Amico Ryans when I asked him a question about Tank Dell. So he had to like turn around. I don't know if there's any cameras there at the time.
What did he say about Tank Dell?
So he had just finished answering a question about CJ Stroud and how the expectations are going to be ratcheted up in year two, but basically like the season gets reset. But the question was phrased to him just about, you know, coming off a strong rookie season. So I asked, you know, about Tank Dell's rookie season and also a health update. And he said, you know, they were very thrilled with the production they got from him. As of now, they're expecting to be ready to go. And he just said, you know, in terms of what he has to do for next season, just kind of be himself and build off what he was able to accomplish last year. So this is one of these, you know, teams where we know they've been in on some wide receivers. I'm very curious to see if they're going to add somebody else, you know, bringing back Noah Brown to kind of be that third guy. But we know that they may be looking to get a little bit younger at that third position too. So third receiver spot. So we'll see if they add anybody else in the draft. But obviously I know we're all very excited as a fantasy community for Nico Collins and Tank Dell. And sounds like he's going to be ready to go coming back from his leg injury.
You think Burrow's going to be all systems go?
Yeah, that's what Zach Taylor said. You know, as of now, he's trending in the right direction. You know, he's one of those coaches that says, I trust the medical staff and all those things. So he seems to be very confident that Burrow will be out there for the start of spring. And again, you know, for me, it's always training camp, you know, so whatever he does in the spring is, I think, a bonus. But the fact that he's going to be ready for camp sounds like he's on track. And I did not hear anything about T. Higgins. I was kind of hanging around a little bit to see if he was going to say anything, but I didn't catch anything. And I was there at the start of his media session.
I had a thought yesterday while I was driving, I think. Probably should have been paying attention to the road. But if Nick Chubb goes on the PUP list, would that increase or decrease his value? I never think about that, because then you wouldn't have to waste the roster spot on him. You could just stash him. What do you think? Better or worse for his fantasy value?
If he gets picked later than where he went in our most recent mock, it'll be by one round max.
Which was round
Someone will buy into the name and they'll take him in round seven. And I can't say it's a terrible move.
But he also won't be there in round six if it's all systems go and he's cleared. Like at round six in this draft seems like a hedge between where we're going to draft Nick Chubb if he's fine and where we're going to draft Nick Chubb if he's on PUP.
Where would you take him if there's no PUP?
If he's like active at the start of training camp?
If he's in the same boat as Breece Hall. So Breece Hall was practicing pretty much full go by the time training camp ended.
I can't see him going later than round five.
I don't know if I can see him going later than round four.
That
I don't
might
think
be true.
I would take him there, but I bet that's where the ADP would settle.
So I think, Adam, to answer your question, like the value in terms of where you draft him is probably gets better. But I think if he goes on PUP, his ADP definitely goes south.
Yeah, I guess I thought maybe there might be sort of an in-between between, you know, he's cleared, ready to go, and he's on PUP. Because PUP is four games, right? You have to miss at least four yes. games. There could be he might miss the first two games, but that's, I guess I'm getting a little bit too specific here. So yeah, right. I mean, there are varying degrees of how healthy he could be in week one, but right, we should probably just go with those two scenarios. He's good for week one and he's on PUP.
And at his age, like there's a significant chance that even if he's ready for week one, he's not Nick Chubb this year.
Right.
Right. There's so much going against him. And I think the Foreman signing was a bet to protect Cleveland's run game in case of anything going wrong with Nick Chubb over the next 4 months.
Jamie, Najee Harris last year, I think he scored all of his touchdowns in wins. He was like Derrick Henry. There was a big difference between how Najee performed when they won and how Najee performed when they lost. Yeah, when they lost, 17.6 carries per game, 4.3 yards per carry in 10 wins. Only 11.3 carries per game, only 3.5 yards per carry, and no touchdowns and 7 losses for Najee Harris. On a per-game basis, let's just say half PPR, he was RB29 per game, just not good enough. Based on what you heard about the Steelers, are you feeling any more optimistic about Najee Harris? How are you feeling about him right now?
The same. You know, I think the Arthur Smith signing is reason for encouragement, you know, just because of what his system has been and the fact that they will be a little bit more run centric. And, you know, I think everything we're sort of hearing, including today, you know, with the backing of Russell Wilson suggests, you know, more of a game manager as opposed to, you know, necessarily opening up the playbook and making it a more pass friendly offense. So Najee, the question that was asked to Mike Tomlin was about his fifth year option. And he said they haven't, you know, got that far yet, but he did say, he did bring up the fact that his three consecutive seasons of 1,000 yards has been very encouraging for them. And he talked about his consistency. So, you know, it sounds like he's still going to be the lead running back. I would anticipate still a split for him and Jaylen Warren. To what degree, we'll find out how much Arthur Smith is going to do that. But we know that that's something that he's clearly done with Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier, for example. So I can't imagine that's going to change. But I still think that you look at Najee as the lead running back and borderline number two, / flex type of option, better in non-PPR than full PPR because his receptions have cratered since Ben Roethlisberger left. Not like Russell Wilson, obviously throws to running backs a ton. And so Jaylen Warren's still a very good high-end flex, you know, and in some cases you can make a case he might be better than Najee Harris as we saw last year.
All right, let's take a look at the running backs who went in round six of the draft. We've already spoken about some of them. This was a draft we did, what, a week ago? A week ago tomorrow, so 6 days ago. James Conner, Tony Pollard, Nick Chubb, Aaron Jones, Najee Harris, Raheem Mostert. It's actually six running backs in this round, half the round. James Conner, Tony Pollard, Nick Chubb, Aaron Jones, Najee Harris, Raheem Mostert. Dave, does Najee Harris belong in this group with Conner, Pollard, Chubb, Aaron Jones, and Raheem Mostert?
I think you can make the case that he belongs at the top of this group because of the work that he should get. Given the changes in the Pittsburgh Steelers offense, Jamie mentioned Arthur Smith. I think we can agree that Arthur Smith has proven to be very good at scheming up the run. And I think we can agree that Najee finished last season good enough or well enough to still be the 1A back in Pittsburgh. And they never, ever really considered making a change from Najee to Warren over the course of the year. And I know that we don't love Najee as much as we used to. He's let us down in fantasy in the past, but I'm mildly encouraged by what he might bring touchdown-wise, touch-wise in this offense that should have a better offensive line and should have a passing game that should threaten defenses a little bit more than what they had last year.
So would you put him at the top of that? You said you could make the argument. Would you put him ahead of James Conner, Tony Pollard, Nick Chubb, Aaron Jones, and Raheem Mostert?
He's there for me for now at the top of that list.
Not for Dave, not for Jamie and Heath.
No, I'd go Pollard, Conner, Mostert, Najee.
I would go Conner, Pollard, Najee, Jones, Mostert.
And there's Chubb in there too, but he's kind of a different case. All right. And Heath, convince me that Jaylen Warren should be drafted ahead of Gus Edwards based on what the Chargers are saying about Gus Edwards.
Well, and I think it's a harder thing to convince somebody of in non-PPR, but in full PPR, I think that Warren has more upside in the event of a Najee injury, because I think Gus is going to be in a 1A, 1B situation, and there's a chance that Warren could turn into a semi-feature back if something happened to Najee. And also, Warren can be a low-end number two running back with Najee there, and low-end number two running back in full PPR is probably the best you're going to get from Najee. So I think they have similar expectations, but there's more upside for Warren.
Jaylen Warren had 61
catches.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I would say that the thing I think that you kind of want to do if you're drafting from a hero RB standpoint is you want to get shares of guys like Jaylen Warren and Tyjae Spears, mm-hmm. you know, kind of what Ben Gretsch was saying on Heath's show, is you want to get shares of these guys because of what the expected workload will be while the quote-unquote starter is healthy, but also the chance of what happens when these guys get hurt, if in fact they do get hurt, because they could just be absolute superstars. And that's what I think you're targeting, which – you know, the problem with taking, you know, Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris so close together is, you know, you're not maximizing the value of them, but you get them at the right price. You know, the difference between Chase Brown and Zach Moss, I guess maybe even the closeness in rounds doesn't really matter because, you know, if the starter's, you know, again, going a little bit later. But, you know, this is the type of way I think you want to draft. If you can get these type of guys and get maybe two or three of them just to see what happens.
Well, there were 15 picks between Tyjae Spears and Jaylen Warren in the draft that we did. Spears went mid round 7. Warren went pretty late in round 8 to Jamie.
I like that better than the picks that he made for me.
What did you say?
I like that better than the picks you made for me.
I used your rankings. I can't help it.
yeah, I mean, do you guys see a big difference between Spears and Warren?
No. Not at all.
I prefer Warren.
Does Spears have more upside? Let's say Pollard and Najee both got hurt in week one. Sorry. But let's say that happened. Who would you draft in that case? Well, let's say they won the lottery, Spears. As Dave likes to say, and retired. You draft Spears, Dave?
Spears over Warren.
I would go Warren over Spears, but it's close.
They'd be very, very close, yeah, but I'd probably go Warren.
Okay.
Very close.
We're going to take a break. Before I go to break, I want to tell you that there is a guy that works for us that has gone 12-1 in his last 13 in-game bets on the NCAA tournament. And his name is Dave Richard. So I was having fun with Dave for his horrible bracket.
Oh, no, please continue. It's hilarious. The bracket is hilarious.
I mean, we got like 1,200 brackets, 1,200 entries. To be second to last with, I think, the lowest... lowest possible point. That's hard to do.
And it only took me like 2 minutes to put that bracket together.
But Dave knows what he's doing. So 12-1 in his last 13. That's a pretty good
stretch. I know what I'm doing when it comes to football. With the live bets, you're watching the games and you're seeing how they play and then you make the bet. It's not that hard. It's the same thing I apply to football. You have to watch them play.
By the way, Schaefer saying that the Jets were 14-1 to win the Super Bowl after they signed Aaron Rodgers. Right now, they're 28-1. It depends where you look, but 22-1 is the lowest, so that's wild. Okay, we got to take a break, and we'll come back and wrap things up with more. We'll talk about the Chargers offense here, even though we talked about Gus Edwards, but more from Jim, I believe it's Jim Harbaugh, on the Chargers offense, and we'll be right back.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back here to talk about the annual meetings here, and Jamie Eisenberg on the scene will give us some leftovers. We'll discuss the Chargers offense. Just a random note. I started watching Necessary Roughness yesterday just to kill some time. Great football movie. Very fun. Jason Bateman is in it. I forgot about that. But we don't, you know, it doesn't get a lot of love as one of the better sports movies. It's tremendous.
Is that the one with the... I don't remember that one, I don't think.
That's... Kathy Ireland was the kicker.
Okay, yeah. I remember that one.
Don't throw at the stone hands! That's in that, too. Jim Harbaugh, what did he have to say in his as he's back in the NFL?
You know, he was very encouraged by the receiving corps, which is, you know, surprising, you know, given the fact of the guys that are there. But he didn't really single out any of the group, but talked about Quentin Johnston, talked about Josh Palmer, and said that they can win with those guys. You were talking about the draft before, and he's very excited about the spot that they're in because, you know, there's a chance that a team can trade up in front of them to go get a quarterback. And if a team does not trade up in front of them, they could trade out of five. Somebody is looking to get most likely JJ McCarthy. So, you know, he feels like they kind of have a great spot to be in the draft. And it's such a deep receiver draft. I think we're all kind of hoping that they do draft one of these receivers because of the ability to put somebody around Justin Herbert. But they're going to be, I think, one of the more interesting teams to monitor during the draft, because it wouldn't surprise me if they come up with two receivers in the draft. Hopefully they get one. It'd be great if they got one of five, because we know they have the ability, if not to get Marvin Harrison Jr., maybe to get Neighbors. And just to give Herbert some help, because that's really the thing that he needs. But you're going to see a very physical Chargers team. That's kind of what Harbaugh's built his resume on, no matter where he's been, which is interesting because of the position that he played, you know, as a quarterback. But it's going to be a team that, you know, if you want to bet on not making the playoffs a year ago to making the playoffs this year, it'd be surprising if the Chargers stay healthy, which we know has been a problem. If they stay healthy and they don't make the playoffs. And then just, you know, news just came through that the hip drop tackle has been banned.
Oh, how about
all
that?
Right.
Yeah, the Chargers could. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't think they can make the playoffs with the receivers that they have right now. I wouldn't pick them.
He wins everywhere he goes, man. That's just that's what Harbaugh does. You know, I don't know if they're going to beat the Chiefs. I don't think that's the case. I don't think anybody's going to expect. But to be a wild card team and make the playoffs, I think it's something that I'd be surprised if they stayed healthy didn't happen.
What do you guys think, Dave? What would you do at five? If you're the Chargers, not at 5 o'clock. I don't care what they're doing that in the NFL draft.
They're going to kick back and have a beer if it's 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I think Neighbors makes a lot of sense if he's there, because not only is he this instant accelerator of a receiver who can make plays after the catch, he's very physical. And I think Harbaugh will like that. He's also good in the run game. He can block well, and that's going to be part of what they're going to ask receivers to do in LA. So I think that would be the direction if they don't trade down first, because they've got the option. They'll have suitors to move down. And if they move down, they can obviously get more players, and the type of receiver that they could add later on in round one. Is it a drop off from Neighbors? Sure. Is it a big drop off? I'm not ready to say that it is. So there's definitely options there. But if they don't move down, Neighbors makes the most sense.
I mean, you're saying Neighbors with the idea that Harrison's gone
and goes to Arizona.
Yeah, I think that's the key is what does four teams in front of them do.
Right. You know, so now, like, if Arizona trades down, say they trade down with Denver and Denver moves up to a quarterback, Jim Harbaugh is racing that card to get Harrison.
Yeah, to play running back probably, but yeah, no,
to block nearly to block.
Is he a good blocker?
Not as good as Neighbors, I don't think.
Doesn't anybody, I'm working on a joke here. I've been working on it for the last 30 seconds. Does anybody want to see Neighbors go to the Jets? So you get Mr. Rogers going, hello, Neighbors.
That's good. The best joke you came up with.
Thank you.
better hurry up and mention my bracket again before people notice how bad that joke is.
Heath, in the draft that you crushed last week, right. Josh Palmer went about 8 picks ahead of Quentin Johnston. Schaefer took Palmer. I took Quentin Johnston. This was round 9 and round 10. Who should go first right now?
I don't know that I'm going to draft either of them quite that early. But I would probably take Johnston. Like, I think Palmer's projection, median projection, is definitely higher. If I had to make a bet on who's going to score more fantasy points next year, it would be Palmer. It's just like 75% of the outcomes where Palmer outscores Johnston, neither one of them matters. Right. So I would take Quentin Johnston higher, but I would not be excited about drafting either.
Fun fact, they both went ahead of Justin Herbert, who also went in round 10 shortly after Quentin Johnston, to Thomas Schaefer, who went with that Chargers stack. Josh Palmer and Justin Herbert. People are going to be talking about that Chargers stack for a while. Obviously, we expect things to change personnel-wise after the NFL draft. It's so interesting because their defense has been such an issue, and you look at them having a glaring need at wide receiver and a glaring need at run. I mean, I would think a glaring need at running back, but maybe they don't feel that way. So you wonder what that team's going to do. It's an interesting team. Thankfully, they have a good quarterback. Let's see. All right, Jamie, empty out the bag here. Give us some leftovers.
Sean McDermott was talking about Curtis Samuel and his, you know, opportunity to play a significant role in the receiver room. The one thing that he did say, which it may speak to what their plans are, you know, in terms of, he was talking about the receivers and he brought up the tight ends, you know, so hopefully it's a bigger role for Dalton Kincaid, which will be fun. I think that's what we're kind of all hoping for here. But in terms of Curtis Samuel, you know, he talked about his speed by comparison, I think, to Gabe Davis. And, you know, I think we all kind of look at Davis as kind of a guy who can run. Samuel's a little bit of a different kind of runner and different kind of speed. So I just hope that Samuel doesn't impact Khalil Shakir too much in a negative way. I'd like to see Shakir get a bigger role because I'm excited to see what he can do. He also talked about the durability of James Cook. And, you know, he said that that's something that they have to be aware of on both ends of the spectrum, not giving him too much work, but also making sure that he's getting enough work. And so very curious to see what they're going to do because their rest of their running back room is not exactly in the best of shape. Damien Harris coming back from an injury. I think Latavius Murray might still be on the roster. I'm not sure about that, but obviously an older guy. Just not a lot of, players, I think, that you look at and say, I'm confident in that guy if something were to happen to Cook, but also that's great for James Cook because it doesn't feel like he's going to necessarily lose a lot of work to somebody who may or may not be better than him in certain roles. So, you know, as it stands right now, I'm getting more excited about James Cook. Not that I'm going to change necessarily how I'm ranked. He's, you know, early third round pick for me, but one of those guys that's a, you know, borderline number one running back.
Does anybody agree with this comment in the chat? Gabe Davis's speed is more comparable to Adams' speed
than what? A cheetah?
I mean, if you're getting compared to Gabe Davis, just smile and say thank you.
An automobile?
I would like to know if anybody asked Doug Peterson about Gabe Davis's role.
I just did a search on Twix and did not get any results. Doesn't mean he wasn't asked, but
distance running.
I was talking to a buddy of mine who covers Jaguars, not named Pete, and he was saying that the roles, because I asked, I said, is Zay Jones staying on the roster? And he said, most likely, yes. Had they signed Calvin Ridley, they might have moved on from Zay Jones. But what he said is most likely going to happen, which makes sense, is Zay Jones, Gabe Davis, which feels like they're kind of the same type of player. Both those guys are going to be the outside receivers, and Christian Kirk goes back in the slot. And he said Kirk's going to have a huge year. Evan Ingram's going to have a huge year. It's hard not to agree with that, you know, coming off the seasons that they've had each of the last 2 years. Ingram, 100 catch season this year. Kirk, what he did 2 years ago. Those are two players I think you can get excited about for Jacksonville.
So Matt was saying that Gabe Davis's speed is closer to Adams than Curtis Samuel's. And he gave us their 40 times here. Curtis Samuel ran a 4.31 40. Gabe Davis ran a 4.54. And I would bet my entire life savings and Dave's NCAA tournament bracket that Adam is not closer to Gabe Davis than Gabe Davis is to Curtis Samuel.
So what that would be like 4.79 or something like that?
Yeah, like a 4.79. I'm not sure it'd be a fight. I would bet the over on 5.
Oh, I really think I could run a 4.79 40.
Oh, no.
No.
There's no way you can get a 5.40. No.
You don't think so?
No.
In cleats, indoors, in Indianapolis?
No. Guess we'll, in
well, when you put it that way.
Okay, I guess maybe I'm a little high on myself here, overrating myself a little bit. Let's see if I can Azer stat that in some capacity. All right. Anything else, Jamie? You don't have to. I mean, I'm not trying to. We have plenty of good stuff here. But
well, yeah, no, too. But I'll wait till the end.
I haven't gone through, like I said, everything yet because, like I said, I can't get to every coach.
Yeah.
So I like to see what they said in terms of their media availability. So thankfully, a lot of reporters and team sites they provide that. So I'm looking forward to the rest of my day going through that.
Okay. What was your I'm question? Glad you're there. I appreciate you being there. Thank you for being there. Who do you want to talk to tomorrow? If you had a wish list of the top three coaches and the top three questions from the NFC, what would they be?
Oh boy. Raheem Morris, just to make sure he's not going to screw us on Bijan and Drake London and those guys. Cause I think we're all excited about that. Mm-hmm. I'm actually curious to hear what Dave Canales has to say. Just because, you know, new coach and a good play caller, what's going to be the case in Carolina? Mike Tomlin was very, not surprising, but very glowing about Deontay Johnson. One of the Panthers reporters asked him what kind of receiver they're getting. And he, you know, raved about his route running and ability to want the ball and not do it in a pouting type of way. And then the third guy of the three, Kevin O'Connell. Just because of the uncertainty in Minnesota right now with the quarterback situation. I'd also, I need to speak to him for the magazine story that I'm doing on who is the best / number one receiver for fantasy. You know, we've talked about quite a bit. I think it's one of the biggest stories for fantasy managers in the first round and kind of the trickle down effect and how that will go. So Zach Taylor was amazing on Jamar Chase today. And I'm hoping Kevin O'Connell will say the same about Justin Jefferson. No surprise. I'm sure he will. But just to get some of those, you know, quotes there, but yeah, those would be three that I'm looking forward to talking to. And then Brian Dable obviously would be a fourth. If I had a fourth choice, just, you know, tell him about Adam and his love for the,
I agree.
My 9-year-old was begging me to get an Andy Reid autograph. And I tried to explain to him that that's not the case. So I took a picture of Andy Reid for him and I said, this will have to do. So I'll do the same for you, Adam. I'll take a picture of Brian Dable for you.
Oh, there was one. Thank you. I appreciate that. There was one other note, Dave. You said that the Chargers wanted to get the tight ends involved, right?
Ravens, wrong Harbaugh, knucklehead.
Oh, damn it.
The Ravens are going to get the tight ends involved?
I had a Donald Parham. I was going to get all into Parham here. Okay, the Ravens wanted to get the tight ends involved.
John Harbaugh specifically talked about the younger tight ends on the roster. So could be a sign that Isaiah Likely gets a little bit more work. Charlie Kohler, someone that I think was mentioned specifically by John Harbaugh. And just the prospect of a two tight end set with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry in the backfield with a good offensive line, that should scare a lot of defenses because the Ravens should be able to do anything they want to out of that type of formation. That could be really dangerous.
I don't know that it will scare defenses quite as much as the hip drop tackle being banned. I'm wondering how much of a scoring explosion we're going to get. If this is a 15-yard penalty and a first down every time somebody executes that tackle.
Well, honestly, I felt like the defense, they didn't penalize the defense enough.
Right.
You know, it's too easy to play defense in the NFL these days, especially cornerback. So I'm glad. No, I mean, look, safety is important. It didn't seem like the players wanted this.
Players Association specifically said they did not want this.
Right. So I don't know. I don't love it, but okay. Thanks for watching and listening, everybody. We'll have more from the meetings. As Jamie mentioned, the NFC coaches tomorrow. So we'll talk about that hopefully on Wednesday. And good to have. Oh, Heath, how was your vacation?
It was fantastic. So I went to Central Tennessee, did a bunch of hiking, Fall Creek Falls State Park, Burgess Falls State Park, Cummins Falls State Park. It was really, really good time. Saw a bunch of waterfalls, went chasing waterfalls.
You think I would have enjoyed this? It doesn't sound like an Adam trip.
No, I don't think you would have enjoyed it at all. Although we did spend a couple days just hanging out in the Airbnb and not really doing much of anything, which was really nice. That's also.
I would have enjoyed that. Okay, yeah. That's my life for you. We'll talk to you. You got the Dynasty Show tomorrow. We're back on Wednesday with another episode of Fantasy Football Today. Have a good one, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.